Thank you so much for your presence here today. May your life be richly blessed as a result of you being in our midst today. We are certainly going to share something good with you. We want to feed you some spiritual food. We need spiritual food. We can't get enough of it. You ever heard of anyone getting sick from too much spiritual food? Never heard of that. I haven't. But this carnal food, I've been sick a few times in my life eating too many hot dogs when I was a kid growing up. I loved hot dogs. So I got sick a few times. But what we're going to share with you today is going to, if you're sick spiritually, it's going to make you well. So thanks so much again for your presence, and thanks to the brethren that took the leading part in the service today. We appreciate you so much, and thank all of you for sharing in what they did. And we'll just pray for that the Lord is pleased so far with what we have done. I shared this lesson on May the 25th with the life groups, and was asked to present it again today. Some folks got excited and wanted it to be shared again. That's good, isn't it? When people ask you to share your lesson again with them, that's a good thing. So I'm very thankful for that. I had another wonderful lesson prepared, and I did have to sort of think about it, you know, because I thought the other one was going to be pretty good too. But then I thought, well, it's good to give the people what they're asking for, right? So the title of the lesson today is Rebirth of Life. Rebirth of Life. Taken from Acts chapter 2 and verses 44 through 47. And on your flyer, if you have the flyer, we hope everyone has the flyer, you can see these individuals, they are supporting one another. They are working together. They are working together. In our picture on the flyer, you can see these individuals working together, complementing one another. And you can follow what we're going to be saying on the flyer that you have. Rebirth of life. Having a thriving life group ministry requires the implementation of LIFE. Love, involvement, fellowship, and evangelism. Our life groups, if used properly, can create an intimate family connection while providing a constant source of spiritual enrichment to each member of the body of Christ. I will share 3 points that I hope will help us be more effective in the use of our life groups. First point, and you can see on your flyer, the biblical blueprint for life groups. Jesus model the perfect life group with the 12 disciples. The relational level with which Jesus carried out his early ministry is our best model of life groups. He chose to keep his inner circle small. Mark chapter 3 and verse 14. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach. Here we see a wonderful description of a life group in its simplest form. Second point, key elements to building a strong and sustainable or prolonged life group ministry. We want to start the life group ministry and we want it to last. We do not want it to die. We want to sustain it, to prolong it. Why? Everyone has a desire to belong to someone or something. Life is meant to be shared with other people. Creating a sense of family and connecting with one another is important. Yes, from time to time, I may get on your nerve a little bit. You may get on my nerve a little bit. But you know what? When I'm away from you, I miss you. And I can't wait to get back to see you so that we can fuss a little bit, maybe. In Acts chapter 2, let's look at Acts chapter 2, verses 44 through 47, which is our text. And all that believe were together. We see unity here, don't we? All that believe were together and had all things common. And sold their possessions and goods. That showed togetherness. Selling their possessions and good. And parted them to all men. As every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord, unity in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, singleness of purpose. They had one purpose, and that was to build a strong bond. Build a strong bond. Build a strong personal relationship with one another. And they were doing the right thing to do it. Praising God and having favor with all the people. Now, as people saw these Christians bonding together and selling their possessions and their goods, and then sharing them with one another. As outsiders saw this happen, do you not know that a lot of them wanted to be a part of this group? A lot of them wanted to be a part of this group. They had favor with all the people. And the Lord, you see what he did? Added to the church daily such as should be saved. So as people in the community, as we share our lives together and work in unity together, people see that. And they want to be a part of it. And I know you have heard, I know I have heard people speak highly about the Northwest Church of Christ. I've had people tell me that this is a wonderful, wonderful congregation. We're a very warm and friendly congregation. I had one member of another congregation that said, you all should rename your congregation Friendship Church of Christ. That's a good one, isn't it? Friendship, that you all are so warm and caring. So here in Acts chapter 2 and verses 44 through 47, we see that small groups or life groups were vital, were very important to the daily life and health of the early church. In the church today, life groups are crucial. They are still very, very important. Here at Northwest, our desire, listen to this closely, brothers and sisters and friends, here at Northwest, our desire is for our members to experience an environment in which that connection take place. We want you to experience an environment where we are together and we are encouraging one another and we are supporting one another and we are caring for one another. Doesn't our bulletin say sharing and caring, right? We want all of our members to experience this, not just a few. We want our brothers and sisters in Christ to experience this fullness of life together as we equip one another, as we equip one another for better service. It's all about serving the Lord better. It's all about growing and doing what we do better. It's all about me loving you deeper, you loving each other deeper. We loving one another deeper, deeper feeling and expressions of forgiveness, for kindness, for gentleness, for compassionness, for unselfishness, for meekness, for self-control. We want to keep growing deeper and deeper, because the depths of these beautiful spiritual virtues are unlimited. We can continue to grow in these virtues for the remainder of our life, and we will never reach the depths of what it is or what they are. But we want to keep trying. We want to keep trying. Our life groups are small groups within the congregation in which we can share our lives and take care of one another as we build real and relevant, or relevant rather, as we build real and relevant or special relationships. We want to build special relationships. Each of our life groups is a mixture of couples, singles, people of all ages. Look around. Stages of life and spiritual maturity. Seeking, and we all should be seeking to be transformed into the image of Christ. That's what it's all about. We all should be seeking to be transformed into the image of Christ. That's what makes us beautiful. We want to be beautiful not only on the outside of the outward appearance, but we want to be beautiful in our mind. We want to have a beautiful mind that produces those beautiful spiritual virtues that I mentioned a few minutes ago, gentleness and kindness, unselfishness. Another important aspect or part of the Christian life is finding a place to serve. There are some people that seem to have a difficult time finding a place to serve. But here at Northwest, you should not have that problem, because we have life groups. And if you are not a member of a life group, then let the elders know. We want you in a life group. We don't want you to feel that you are alone. We want all of us to be together. Life groups are the best place to begin this process of feeling that you belong to something or somebody, or that you, someone cares about you, that you are important. And we know that in Christ we all are
very, very special.
Christ died for us. That makes us very, very special. Each life group is designed to help you find a place of service in the church, in the community, and in the world. Our life groups should challenge us to apply and live out the teachings of Christ in all areas of our life on a daily basis. The people who we work with ought to see Christ in me and see Christ in you every day of our lives. When we're out in the mall, the people ought to see Christ in you and in me. They ought to see us acting different from the way the world acts. And that should be every day of our life. The focus of a life group is simply to help connect you and me to other members of the same body, support you through difficult times, celebrate with you during times of joy, and be a constant source of encouragement to you as each one of us continue to be transformed into the image of Christ. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, the Spirit says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and that acceptable will of God." God the Father wants each one of us that are members of the Church of Christ to be conformed or transformed or conformed into the likeness of Christ. The likeness of Christ. Final point. Reasons for building life groups. Here are four solid reasons for building and maintaining our life groups. The scriptures lay out a biblical foundation for life groups that is undeniable. The level of impact a thriving life group ministry can make is obvious. Okay, these reasons. One, they, meaning life groups, meet the need for individuals. Meet the need for individual and biblical expression of love. We want to always be expressing love towards one another and to all men. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 20. Here, Paul was at Miletus. He was at Miletus, and he sent for the elders of the church that was at Ephesus. And look what he said to them. "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but I have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house." Paul here is expressing his love for the elders from Ephesus. Do you see love in this expression here? He expressing his love towards them, and he said, "I held back nothing that would help you or support you spiritually." This is an act of love by Paul. And as we share our spiritual experiences with one another and with others, we are expressing love. Two, they, meaning life groups, meet the need for involvement, which encourages the development of leaders with servant hearts by focusing on serving others more than being served. We want to develop leaders with servant hearts that focus on serving others. John chapter 13
John chapter 13 and beginning at verse 12.
So after he, meaning Christ, we're talking about Christ here, had washed their feet, had washed the feet of the disciples. Now here's the Lord and Savior stooping down to do what a slave normally would do. The Lord and Savior taking the place of a slave or taking the responsibility of a slave and washing his disciples' feet and had taken his garments, he had put back on his outer garment and was set down again. He said unto them, Know you what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, I am your Lord, I'm your Master. If then, let's make them look at themselves now. Now, if then your Lord and Master have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. I'm your Lord and your Master, and I have stooped down, I have humbled myself to do this. So you ought to do the same. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. To put it simply in that verse, Jesus is saying, knowing these things are one thing, or knowing these things are good, but to do them is better. Knowing is good, but to do is better. They, the life group, meet the need for fellowship and building strong personal relationships. And we saw that in Acts chapter 2 and verses 44 through 47. We saw how that they built fellowship and strong personal relationship with one another. And number four, they meet the need for effective and accelerating spiritual growth. They meet the need for effective evangelism and accelerating spiritual growth. John chapter 4 and verse 37, started with verse 37. Here Jesus said, and herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. Now, an example of what Jesus is saying, there may be a brother or a preacher who preached for years and never see the benefit of his work. Never see the benefit of it. No one responds. And then another brother comes along and share the word one time, and lots of people respond to it. One labored, one did the work, and another one came along and reaped the benefit of it. Verse 38. Now, this is what he's saying to his disciples. I send you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. You're going out, and you're going to reap the benefit of what other men have done. Other men worked or labored, and you are entered into their labors. You're going to reap the benefit of what other men have done. Life. Well, let's back up just for a moment. We need one more scripture that deals with accelerating spiritual growth. That's Ephesians chapter 4, and starting with verse 15. This scripture deals with accelerating or spiritual growth, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. How should the truth, back up just a moment, how should the truth be spoken? In love. The good news should be spoken in love, not harshly. If I'm sharing God's word with someone and I'm doing it in a harsh way, that's not good news to that person that I'm sharing his word with. If I'm harsh with them, it should be shared with gentleness, considering myself, how I would want someone to share God's word with me. Speak it in love. that we may grow up, or I may, and that person may grow up in him in all things, that we may grow spiritually unto Christ, who is the head. He's the head. He's the one that we're trying to please. So I should be doing it in such a way that pleases him and not myself. I shouldn't be harsh towards someone. I'm trying to please myself when I'm acting towards someone in a harsh way. I should be acting the way the head wants me to act. And you know something? This is the way we should act with one another all the time. I don't want you acting harshly with me, so I shouldn't act harshly with you. You know that? That is something that all Christians should remember. We want to be handled gentle. So let's be gentle with one another. We want the Lord to be gentle with. I want to be gentle with me. I mess up a lot of times. He could zap me at any time when I'm acting rude or harshly. Suppose he zapped me at that time.